Lord, I ask that you would speak to us through the scripture today, and that whatever we need individually or maybe as a group, you would do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin by reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Here we go. All scripture is inspired by God. Okay, wait a minute. The gift of mumbling is seriously in this group today. Lord, give us clarity. May I not stumble over my... Here we go. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that would be every woman, too, for that matter. And if you read with me 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. The stories are there not just for historical reason, but they are also there to teach us principles and lessons that can be applied to our lives. That's what that scripture says. Today I want to look at one of those stories and apply it to our life, both collectively as a church and also individually within our story as a church. Now, this story was written down for us, you might say, so that we can gain some insight and instruction into our situation, circumstance, both collectively as a group, but also individually and maybe as families. The story is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, and it is also printed. And I would like us to remember that this is the eternal word of God as we read it. God's word for us as a church today. So here we go. Now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log and let us make a place for us to dwell there." And he answered, "Go." Then one of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried aloud, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and took it. Now remember, these stories are written down that we might gain some insight into our lives and gain some instruction. So I want to look at this story for our instruction. It is part of this series on pushing the reset button. You can get all of them out there on the shelf out there, or you can go online to lampstandpc.org and you can listen to them there. But they're all written down here for our instruction. So let's look at this story for our instruction. It begins by mentioning the sons of the prophets speaking to Elisha, the prophet, about moving and building a new place to dwell in because the place they were now in was too small. What we have here is a group of men who are studying under the prophet Elisha. They are training for God's work in Israel. They are under the leadership of the leading prophet of Israel. Elisha was that prophet who received a double anointing from Elijah, the prophet, a few years earlier. So what we have here is kind of like a church in some ways. People who are learning about being God's leaders in Israel. And isn't that why we go to church? Really? We go to church to equip ourselves to be God's people in the world where we live and work. We go to church to witness to one another and learn of Him. Well, anyway, the sons of the prophets come to Elisha because the place they're in is just too small because of the number of people who had come to gain instruction. So the place is overcrowded. And then, so they come to Elisha. They ask to go and build a bigger place down by the River Jordan. And Elijah responds to their desire by telling them, "Well, go on and do it." So they get started on their project. Well, in the confusion and the excitement of the moment, this building project, one of the guys actually comes up to Elisha and he says, "Will you go with us?" I guess the rest of them just assumed that he was going with them, and in the excitement, they forgot why the place was so overcrowded. It was overcrowded because the Spirit of God had rested upon Elisha, who was teaching them after Elijah had gone into the heavens. Anyway, one of these guys had the presence of mind to ask Elijah, "Hey, will you go with us?" So the prophet went with them. And they were in the process of building this new school or place of worship where they equipped God's people. And that's the story down to verse 5 in this thing that we just read. And up to that point, everything's going well. So let's look at those first 5 verses and see what we can learn from them. This brings this story over into our lives, you know, as the scripture in Timothy says, so we can gain some instruction. We can see a few things that can be said about these people. First, they are people with the touch of God upon them. That is, they are people in whom the Spirit of God is moving. They are growing and learning in their lives as the people of God. That's what we can say about them. Also, they are people in whom the Spirit of God has touched them, and they're doing it in order. They're moving along. They are using their heads. They're managing what they're about to do. They're pursuing it, but they're not wild and crazy in terms of this project. Third, they have requested the presence of the one man who is their teacher and leader, the anointed prophet of God. And he is the symbol of God's work and voice among them. Now, when it comes over to how this story can teach us, it also suggests to us the kind of person who will hear the meaning of what I'm talking about today. That may not be all of us. So let me begin in the starting place. You who have ears to hear, may you hear. I want to be talking to those of us who are like the sons of the prophets in this story. That is, those of us who have the touch of God upon us. I'm talking to any one of us who the Lord Jesus has touched with his life. And you know for certain that you are a reborn son or daughter of the living God. And that's as ministry-oriented as really any of us can ever get. That's a starting place. Recognizing that you have been touched by the Spirit of God and you have been touched for ministry in your life, and you come to terms with the fact that the Lord has anointed you the same way that these young men were anointed, and he has touched you by his Spirit for ministry. You are alive in the Spirit. Second thing that you can learn from this story is to realize that we too are like them in that we want to see a good work developed in and through our lives, personally, collectively, as a church. You have ears to hear, may you hear. And if you are, you might want to say, I want to be like these people. I want to see an enlargement of the Lord's work in my life, an enlargement of his presence in my life, and so I can move it through my life. For them, it was a building. And that's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. Now, we moved here 5 years ago, and we moved because we ran out of space. So that parallels there for us. But it's also a physical picture of a spiritual truth. The growth of God's presence through Jesus Christ in your life personally. The question is, are you interested in seeing the building of new relationships in your life, new spiritual dimensions broadened and deepened in your life? Are you interested in seeing an enlargement of the perspective, revelation, and understanding that you have in terms of your relationship with God about how the Lord Jesus would use you in terms of your life for his purposes? Do you want to continue to grow in your spiritual life? Now, if you can say yes to that kind of question personally, then this message is for you. I am not speaking to those of us who might just happen to be satisfied with our spiritual development or comfortable where we are. So here we have a group of people, much like a church, who have the Spirit of God resting upon them. They've run out of space. They became overcrowded. They entered into this building project to deal with their condition. As I say, it's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. I want to talk about our spiritual growth. You know, one of the things that we got here, we are what you call a full-service church. I mean, we got kids' work, we got Sunday school class, we got worship, we got all these other things going on. We start our stuff this right now. And you notice there are a bunch of Sunday school classes in here that you can go to, you can plug in and be in relationship, and you can pick your poison, so to speak, because there's enough difference in all of them to do that. We have Wednesday night Bible study here, and we have Wednesday night youth work and kids work here, so there's a place to go in terms of that. But if it's whether you want the spiritual growth in your life or not. So we have the tools and the equipment and the people doing the work. If you look at this list here, there's probably 30 to 50 people involved just in the ministry of our education program. So we're much like these people. They embarked on a building project. Now, the most profound revelation in the building process, whether you're talking about building yourself personally or building us collectively as a church, spiritually speaking, is that we make sure that God's presence is with us during that process of spiritual growth. In this story, one man had the foresight to ask Elijah, he says, be pleased to go with your servants. In other words, we're not launching out without the head guy, and Elijah's name means the riches of God. So in other words, this guy comes up and made sure we don't want to do this without the riches of God being present with us. Now, it doesn't take the gift of discernment to see in Elijah also a picture of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus resides in us, and all the wealth and riches of God reside in him. The Apostle Paul talked about that, unsearchable riches of Christ, in the letter to the Ephesians. It is God in Jesus Christ who shall supply all our needs. Christ Jesus is the riches of God who meets all of our needs in every dimension of our living. Whatever is needed for the enlargement process in terms of your spiritual life or us collectively as a church, whether we're, you can talk about physical buildings, but you can talk about spiritual growth, is in Jesus. It is in Jesus that we find all that we need. These men said, we want to make sure that the riches of God goes with us in this project of building for our future, and that is Elisha. Let me tell you something. In terms of our lives individually or as families or collectively as a church, we better make sure that we have the riches of God going with us. You see, in all the confusion and excitement of moving, these guys, somebody had the sense to ask this guy, hey, will you go with us? This series is on pushing the reset button, and really it has to do with getting back to basics. You know, sometimes you just need to push that reset button on computers. They need to reset. So do we. So let's make sure that we ask the Lord Jesus to come with us into our future. Let's make sure we submit ourselves as a church, both individually and collectively, to the lordship and the leadership of Jesus in all that we are and all that we do. Because it doesn't matter how hard we try, if the Lord isn't with us, we will labor in vain. No matter who or what tries to overcome us or stop us, if we walk with Jesus, we will be triumphant. We really need to learn the discipline of asking the Lord to go with us or with me. Moses put it very well in the book of, I think it was Deuteronomy, where he said, Lord, And he's talking to God up on a mountain. He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, stop us from going at all. If God is not present with you and in you, you're going to labor in vain. If God is not present with us and in us as a church, we labor in vain. Anyway, in the story, they got there. They started the project. They're moving right along on that project. Everything was positive. These are people with a touch of God on them. They get the prophet's permission to build, who represents the voice of God. They get him to go with them. And so they are all moving along fine, which brings us to the focal point of that story, which is related to this whole theme in these sermons in pushing that reset button. Read with me verses 5 through 7. Here we go. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and took it. This is the part of the story that is personal for each of us. In the process of building this new facility down by the Jordan River, one guy, while he's working on the project, cutting wood, has his axe head on his axe fly off the handle and land in the river, Jordan. And not only that, but the axe was not his to begin with. It was borrowed. He was the steward of the axe, you might say, and he was using it, but it wasn't his. When you use an axe, you have to check it every so often because the axe head can get loose. If you neglect it, there's a chance that while you are swinging it, the head will fly off, and that's what happened right here in this story. And in those days, axe heads were worth their weight in gold. You couldn't just go down to Ace Hardware down here and pick one up. This young man did not check his axe head, and the head came off and fell in the River Jordan. He's deeply distressed because he had borrowed it. He was the steward of the tool, you might say. And it's in this picture, this story, that we see a principle of life and faith, our relationships and our lives. And at this time, you know, I'm using this, but sometimes we just need to push that reset button because we get moving in the wrong directions and get off base and we lose things. So there's a very pointed lesson here. If you have ears to hear, may you hear. Let me emphasize a couple of points about this young man, which may apply to some of us. This guy had neglected the axe without intent. I want you to understand what I'm showing you has nothing to do with intended neglect or carelessness or rebellion or disobedience or sin. It had to do with just not paying attention to what is important in keeping the cutting edge on your faith. And in so many cases, it's going to be something that we didn't mean to let happen. This was an accident as a result of not paying attention and neglecting and being careless. So let me give you a few points of application, personally. And just in case you can't think of any on your own. What I want you to do is use this picture in Scripture as a lesson for us to make us more attentive to what is going on in our lives right now and see if there isn't some relationship we have neglected and therefore is in jeopardy of slipping away. What kind of attention are you giving to your relationships right now? Internal family relationships, husband-wife, wife-husband, parent-child, child-to-parent, friends. Maybe it has to do with your prayer groups, reunion groups, brothers or sisters. Could be the worship team up here. How is your relationship with this church family right now? How is your relationship with your boss? your employees? Most important, how is your relationship with Jesus right now? Are any of those relationships being neglected in your life? Are you in jeopardy of losing any of them because you aren't paying attention? One other thing that can be discerned from this picture of the axe head flying off that axe. It's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. You know, sometimes we just get mad at people, don't we? Or situations or circumstances. We sometimes just get mad. People who just don't live up to your expectations, as I talked about last week. And we get mad because things don't go our way. We get mad because we get our feelings hurt. And we hold a grudge because of pride or whatever, and we don't let go of it. Sometimes we get mad, and you know what we do? We do exactly what happened in this story. We fly off the handle, and we lose our cutting edge. We lose our cutting edge, our effectiveness as God's people, and it has to do with our relationships. The fact is that we haven't gone back and given attention to the needs to acknowledge failure, maybe to forgive somebody, or to let go of our own pride, and to work at making a relationship strong and tight. We get mad, we lose our heads. And in the process, we lose our effectiveness to minister and to work because our ability to minister and work is really all tied up with our relationships. Relationship and ministry go right hand in hand. If we want to see anything develop in our lives, whether we're talking about our private lives, personal family situations, maybe it's economically or business or job, or our life as a church, we always need to be attentive to what keeps the cutting edge not only sharp, but also tight, so that it won't slip and fly off the handle. Which brings me to the big question. What if you've already lost it? What if we have already let fly, you might say, with the cutting edge of our relationships or ministry or faith? We've lost it. Well, the starting place is to go to Elisha for this guy in this story, the riches of God. For us, we need to go to Jesus. A lot of us will try everything else first, but we won't go to Jesus with our situation, our circumstance, our failure, our loss. The answer to the question, if you've already lost it, is to go to Jesus. Now, that might sound trite and religious, but it's still the truth. Once again, in this story, a picture and a lesson of the process of recovery is shown to us. This guy comes to Elisha, and Elisha says to him, "Where did you lose it?" And this guy goes and he shows Elisha where he lost his axe head, and where it fell into the water. Now, this is a powerful picture, and it's a great truth that is shown to us in this story. And it is a physical picture, but it is a spiritual truth. What the Lord Jesus wants to do is take you back to the place where it happened, where you lost it. The place of the accident, or the place of the crime. And we have a picture here in Elisha of what the Lord Jesus does with us. The Lord says, let's go back a little while. A few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years. Find that place where you lost it, where you flew off the handle, where you lost your cutting edge. So this guy shows the prophet the place. Just as we need to go, and we need to show Jesus the place where we lost our cutting edge, if that's where we are. You know, I deal with people and I've been working in churches for so many years. There are so many ways that we can lose our cutting edge. Disappointments, disillusionment. I talked last week about expectations that we have of people, which are judgments. It can be losses in terms of people who die around us. It can be losses because of divorce and things like that. And we can lose it, so to speak. Notice Elijah takes over at this point. And once the Lord Jesus gets our attention at the place where we flew off the handle, so to speak, then he will say, fine, now I will take care of it. The scripture says that Elisha cut a stick and he threw it into the river. Now, I don't understand the relationship between throwing a piece of wood into the water and the axe head coming up to the surface of the water and floating there. All I know is that Elisha did it in this story. The riches of God did it. But I think there's a message even in this for us. I don't know everything between Jesus dying on a piece of wood for my sins either. All I know is that Jesus did it. And he did it through a piece of wood on which he was nailed. And everything that is needed to restore that which is lost, whether it's an axe head in this situation, or a coin, or a lost sheep, or a lost prodigal son, or a lost relationship, or a lost ministry, or just your sanity in a confusing life in which things have happened, is the presence of the Lord Jesus, who is the riches of God. And just as the prophet Elijah says to this young man, the Lord Jesus says to us, look, friend, don't beat on yourself. Let's just go back to that place where you lost it, and let's take care of it. And Jesus makes full provision for that which is lost, even your cutting edge. So all that remains are the last words of this picture in Scripture. Verse 7, read with me verse 7. And he said, take it up. So he reached out his hand and took it. Reach out and take it. The Lord says it is restored to you. Read with me that first scripture again in 2 Timothy up at the top there. Here we go. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I will say the woman of God as well. We're here to gain some insight and instruction from a picture in the Old Testament. And I hope I painted that picture in such a way that you've gained some insight into your own life. But I'd like to pray for us now. So let's just take a couple of minutes before we take communion. Lord, we come to you today with many things on our hearts. And Lord, I may have stirred up some things that were down in the bottom that we didn't notice. Lord, help us to see those places in our lives that need attention. Those places where we need to push that reset button so that we can function again. Those places where we have neglected or are in jeopardy of slipping away. Lord, some of us need to be sharpened up on the cutting edge of our lives and our faith. We haven't been cutting it like we should. Lord, sharpen up those places in our faith and our life that we need to have sharpened. Lord, for somebody here, we may have already lost our cutting edge. It's not a matter of sharpening us up. It's a matter of having lost our faith, our cutting edge someplace. Lord, help us to go back to that place where we lost it. And as we go back there, we pray that you will raise it up, just like Elisha did for this young man in this story when he raised up that axe head. Lord, some of us may have literally flown off the handle in a relationship. In the church here, in our job someplace, in a friendship, in our family. Lord, some of us just got mad and flew off the handle. We didn't mean to, it just happened. Lord, we know exactly where it happened, that explosive anger. Come with us to that place. And let it be a time of forgiveness and resurrection of that which was lost in that moment, that time of anger. And so it was, Elijah said, reach out and take it. Reach out and take that which is lost. Reach out and take that cutting edge back into your life. And in Jesus' name, the people said, Amen.